Ho, 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 listeners! It's time for Movie Mastery! Ho, ho, ho! Why, it's your old pal Santa John, here with his little helper Jeff.
Yeah!
And we're bringing you only the finest in Christmas-themed movies.
Yeah! Yeah!
God damn it. I couldn't think of anything an elf would say, so I just went with meh.
Yeah, that's what an elf says. That's racist.
A grumpy elf. What are you saying? Elves can't be grumpy?
Yeah, that's
now,
what I'm saying.
Who's the real monster?
All right. So, it's December for our Movie Masteries this month. Kind of like we did with October's Horrortoberfest. We are watching Christmas movies.
Or holiday movies, you know.
Well, you know, holiday movies.
There you go.
Oh, well, you know, mostly Christmas, though. I want to really get Christmas in there, because there's a war on Christmas right now, and I got to pick sides.
That's true. Pick your battles. And the one I've chosen is that people don't say Merry Christmas to me specifically when I'm at Kroger's.
Yeah, it ruins Christmas for me.
Every time. Every time ruins Christmas again. My Christmas has already been 7 times ruined.
It's the worst.
It's what, December 2nd right now? Man, Christmas, it gets worse every year.
Every year.
Yeah.
So we're going to help put the Mass back in Christmas.
Oh, that's good. I wanted to put the Mr. T back in between Chris and Mass.
We're going to put the Chris back in Christmas.
Good. I thought there wasn't enough Chris in Christmas.
Right?
Yeah. We're going to put the crisscross back in Christmas.
Yeah, because Santa's going to make you jump, jump.
We're going to put the Chris Mass effect back in Christmas.
I should go.
All right. Well,
so our first movie we are doing is Christmas with the Cranks.
Okay, so we are definitely not doing a Hanukkah movie for the first one then.
No, we are definitely Christmasing it up. We watched the trailer for this, which the trailer may as well have just been Cliff's Notes, like it was the whole movie.
Yeah, I can't imagine how they're going to end this thing in a way that is different than the way that the trailer ends. Because the story is, oh, the Cranks, they're a family that loves Christmas. But this year, their daughter's going away.
Oh my god, I just kept expecting, like, Rob Schneider to show up the way this guy was narrating this.
Oh, well, that and the cartoon sound effects. Every time anything happens, like, whip, zoom,
bloop.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the hell? All of a sudden it's like, they thought Christmas was canceled, but Rob Schneider's here as Christmas.
Record scratch. Yeah. I have to assume that none of those sound effects that the trailer is loaded with are in the film.
Probably not.
I mean,
they might be.
It would be so annoying to watch a full hour and a half to 2 hour movie with just cartoon sound effects nonstop. So I have to assume those are out the window. It's like, let's just see if this is the plot or not. There's this family, and their kid leaves for Christmas, and then they decide to go on a cruise instead of having Christmas or something, because
They're canceling Christmas, they're going to go on a cruise instead.
Yeah, they have like a boombox, and he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
And apparently they live in a town where it's illegal to not do Christmas.
Oh yeah, they live in straight up Nazi Pennsylvania, it looks like, where you cannot not celebrate Christmas. The whole, because they're like, get protested for not celebrating Christmas. Also, apparently it's a hard dividing line. They aren't just going on a cruise instead of having Christmas. They've decided to do nothing for Christmas. Because, like, during the film, they refuse a Christmas tree from, like, the local Cub Scout troop.
Well, yeah, he, like, throws the wreath off the door and is like, fuck it, no Christmas.
No Christmas whatsoever. Not even the tiniest, barest amount of Christmas. Anyway, then the daughter calls and is like, I'm coming home for Christmas. Oh, and before the daughter calls, Dan Aykroyd's in the movie, and you can tell he's kind of the lead neighborhood person who wants them to have Christmas.
Well, yeah, it's like, they're not celebrating Christmas, but that's not gonna sit right with some people. And just, there's like, zoom in on Dan Aykroyd, who's like, I'll get you, Cranks.
I'll show you.
I'll make you drink my vodka.
Yeah. Aliens, you know. So apparently he's the bad guy, but then when the daughter calls, there's an immediate turnaround reveal to them running around getting ready for Christmas, Dan Aykroyd getting on the back of an ambulance, it looked like, and being like, all right, we're gonna get these people a Christmas party. Also, aliens are real. Also, Ghostbusters 3, definitely happening, I'm for sure.
All right, you guys, we gotta make sure that this daughter has a great Christmas, and also an all-female Ghostbusters is sacrilege.
Yeah, it's... And then Christmas, you see Christmas happen at the very end, and then some more wacky hijinks, And we get to see all the big stars of the movie. Like,
and I think we saw the actual end, because there's a scene in the trailer, like, towards the end of the trailer, where Jamie Lee Curtis is like, maybe I was wrong about you all along, you love Christmas, and they kiss. And I'm like, that has to be the last scene.
Yeah, and it opens on what was another thing that's an obvious last scene, which is a panning in on Tim Allen, as he's standing out in the middle of a road where there's clearly a Christmas party behind him, and it's snowing, and it's all majestic. That's the end of every Christmas movie. That movie, that moment where the big grump at the beginning goes, oh my god, it's all about the magic filling my heart.
Yeah.
So, okay, so we saw the whole fucking movie in a 2-minute trailer.
If anything is different from the trailer, there you go. My prediction for this is nothing is different from the trailer.
Mine too. This is the same, the whole movie, they got it out of the way. I guess they knew it was shit. But you also get to see the huge star-studded cast, including the youngest kid from Malcolm in the Middle.
Over and over again.
Yeah. Cheech Marin for a second.
For one hot second.
Standing next to, I don't think I'm mistaken, a Jake Busey. One Busey, comma, Jake.
Which is my favorite band, One Busey. And as soon as Zach left One Busey, I was like, well, now my life is over.
Oh, One Busey. They mostly did tooth-related songs.
Good.
Yeah, their big hit, I'm in the Desert. I'm in the Desert. Alabama. Okay, so all right. I think that's good. I think no wacky sound effects. Whole movie was in the trailer.
Yeah.
You want to throw anything else out there? I mean, I have a huge list of things I think are in every Christmas movie, but I don't want to pad out the intro too much, so I'll just start the beginning of the actual episode with that. So, you good?
Yeah, let's go watch this movie, and we will be right back after Christmas with the Cranks and Rob Schneider.
And Rob Schneider as himself. Definitely gonna head to the cheating side of town and get me a hot mic.
Oh man, I really wish there was a cheating side of town and like people knew that's where they lived. They're like, oh yeah, I'm in this area. Oh, that's the cheating side of town. Oh yeah, it's great. I go to the other side of town and I'm like, ladies, dick.
If you would just follow me to the other side of these tracks. Because on the wrong side of these tracks, anything goes. Anyway, I don't know why we're talking about that song. Christmas with the Cranks.
The Cranks. All of these Cranks.
Oh, so many Cranks. There's Dad Crank. I think his name's Luther.
There's the daughter, Dixie Crank.
Yeah.
And then the dad, Donkey Crank.
Donkey Crank. And the mom, the fucking...
Diddy Crank.
Cranky Crank. Whatever.
No, Cranky Crank is the uncle that shows up and is like, I don't like Christmas.
I wish they had that character. This movie doesn't have that character. It's got... everyone in this movie likes Christmas. Every single person likes Christmas. But Tim Allen decides no Christmas this year.
Yeah.
So, okay, so we were right, first of all.
Oh, yeah.
The whole movie is in the trailer. There's very little missing. There's like a couple of subplots.
There's a couple specific scenes that aren't in there. But overall, the main overarching plot is 100% given to you.
Yeah. So, okay, let's start from the beginning here. The movie opens with the daughter of Dixie Crank, we're going to call her. I don't remember her real name.
Blair?
Sure.
Blair.
Blair sounds right, but I like Dixie Crank better, because that way I don't have to keep saying Luther Crank. I could just say Donkey Crank for Tim Allen.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Donkey Crank and his wife, Cranky Crank, are taking Dixie Crank to the airport. I'm going to stop doing this gimmick in a second, I promise. So they can drop her off so she can fly to somewhere in South America for, like, the Peace Corps?
She's going to Peru.
She's going to Peru for the Peace Corps, and it's December 23rd when this happens.
Oh no, it's way before that.
It's only a couple of days. It's gotta be like in early December.
It's basically like she leaves December 3rd or something.
Okay. Well, anyway, she's going to Peru for the Peace Corps and they're driving home and they're crying. Or the wife is crying. Jamie Lee Curtis, by the way, in this movie, looking great when she's in the bikini.
Looking like Jamie Lee Curtis the whole way
100%.
Through.
100%. But, she has kind of grandma hair on purpose.
Yeah.
So, anyway, she wants Tim Allen to stop so they can get some cranberries and white chocolate from a bakery. And he gets out in the rain for the first of the endless amount of Home Alone style slapstick in this movie.
Well, it's, okay, they go to the thing and he goes, oh man, I forgot my umbrella. And she's like, okay.
And he's like, do you really want me to go in there? I forgot my umbrella.
Yes, go in there right now. Go into this pouring, horrendous rain and get me cranberries and white chocolate because I need to have them right this goddamn second.
For the Christmas party that's in 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Anyway, he goes in, he comes back out, says he couldn't find them, but he falls in a big puddle while he walks in and out. And then she's like, did you ask the butcher for them? And he's like, no, why would I ask the butcher? Except he doesn't. He just says, no, I didn't do that.
No, I didn't think to ask the butcher where white chocolate was.
Yeah. It's funny that he doesn't remark in the same way that we are, where she's like, you should have asked Zach, the butcher. And he's like, oh, okay, I'll go do that. Instead of, why would the butcher know? What the fuck?
Yeah. Also, why would I know who Zach the Butcher is?
Also, you clearly are the one who knows the store. You get in there. What is this, 1950? You're a liberated woman. Get in that building and ask where the white chocolate is.
But no, we have to have a bunch of things where there's a guy dressed up as Santa, like, selling umbrellas, going, hey man, do you need an umbrella? And Tim Allen be like, I don't need an umbrella.
I'm just fine without an umbrella. I'm so grumpy. Oh, killed my neighbor.
And so, fuck it, he goes back and forth, finally gets everything, and he's super angry and a dick to the Santa trying to sell him an umbrella when the fucking, like, awning breaks and water pours all over him, and then, like, a second later, it cuts back to him, and his coat is completely dry with a couple spots.
Yeah, but let's be clear here. When the water dumps on him, it dumps on him for the entirety of a second conversation he has with Santa. Like, he's just standing under the apex of a water slide. Like, it just keeps going for a long time, and he's just standing there going, well, I'm committed to this. This is how I'm paying for that second house. Stand in this water, Tim. So he just stands there. Well, clearly, I probably needed an umbrella, Santa. I guess you're probably right. Anyway, I'm still wet, and this water is still coming at an alarming pace for a small awning.
So, finally gets his bullshit, goes in the car, they go home, and but before they do that, after getting completely drenched, he sees an ad for a cruise.
Oh, that sets up the rest of the film.
Oh, and it's magical. He's like, look at those two people in bathing suits on a beach, not currently drenched under an awning, hating life.
Yeah. So he goes, they go home, and the wife is just distraught about the daughter leaving. And let's be clear, the daughter, they actually set it up in the movie. She's 23.
Oh, yeah.
And she's clearly been to college.
But this is the first time she'll ever be away for Christmas.
Right. And the wife in this thing is freaking the fuck out. And when she calls that night, she calls them that night to say, like, I'm happy I'm in Peru or whatever. She's like, my daughter hides! It's amazing how much screaming she does.
Yeah.
I get, okay, mom stuff. I get it, whatever. But anyway, Tim Allen has an idea in his brain, so not much happens that night. But the next day at work, there's a montage of him using a calculator, which is boring.
Yeah, he just sits there, and he's using the calculator and basically punching buttons and doing the whole, like, the pulling the lever for the reams of paper thing and doing a song with it.
Yeah. So there's like a little tick-tock, tick-tick-tock, tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tock song going while he's sitting there doing a calculator, and then he leaves for the day and tells his wife, hey, let's not do Christmas.
Do you know we spent $6,000 on Christmas last year?
We spend $6,132 on Christmas every year, he tells her. And at this point, now I hate them both.
Oh, yeah. You have $6,000 to blow on Christmas? Eat my ass. I don't give a fuck what you do.
I don't care what happens to them anymore. They're too rich for me to care.
Oh, yeah. You got to the point where I'm like, I don't have $6,000 for, like, a year.
Yeah. No, it's ridiculous. And so she's like, well, yeah, we always spend a lot of money on Christmas. It's a big deal. We have a big party every year. And we do this and this and this. And he's like, well, what if we just didn't? What if we went on a cruise? And she's like, what would that cost? And he's like, $3,000. We would save money by going on a cruise instead.
Yeah, and we would do a 10-day Caribbean cruise, and it would cost us half as much as dicking around for Christmas.
And for a moment, for a shining moment in this movie, Tim Allen is right.
Oh yeah, Tim Allen, for just a brief moment, and this will be the running theme of this movie, where everyone is an asshole.
Yeah.
The whole movie long.
The only way the movie works is if he's living in Doucheburg. It's the only way the movie works.
But for a brief shining moment, you're like, oh, Tim Allen, you're kind of right. If you just go on a cruise instead of doing a bunch of Christmas stuff, cost you half as much, you don't have to do a bunch of shenanigans, you don't have a daughter that you need to worry about this year.
Yeah, just do the empty nest thing. You guys are clearly in your, like, late 40s. Enjoy it. Go on a cruise. Who could fault you?
No, who gives a shit? You can do that instead of Christmas 1 year.
Yeah, so for a second there, I still hate Tim Allen because he's been spending $6,000 a year on Christmas. Like, Like, just an asshole.
Well, yeah, and him going like, hey, man, $3,000 for a cruise, that's a steal. And I'm like, oh, I want to punch you in the face.
Yeah. The funny thing is, $3,000 for two people for a 10-day cruise is basically exactly right.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, anyway, she tentatively agrees to it. Jamie Lee Curtis is kind of like, well, I like Christmas. And he woos her into it by putting on a Hawaiian shirt and dancing around to Jimmy Buffett. It's atrocious.
Yeah, her final ultimatum is, well, we need to do our charity giving.
Yeah.
We need to give our charity money that we always do, and then we can do nothing else. And he's like, fine.
Literally, Tim Allen tries to argue her out of it.
Oh, yeah. He's like, no, fuck charity. I don't want to give anything to anyone. Charity. It's a complete ban on Christmas.
It's my money, and I need it now. Anyway, he is so on board for straight up banning Christmas instead of just, you know, we're going on a cruise this year, everybody. But don't worry, because you guys can do whatever you want with our yard, and we'll still put up lights.
No, no. As soon as he's like, we're not doing Christmas, he decides to fucking write a letter at work. We go back to his job where he works in some office, and he's like, dear other office people, I will not be celebrating Christmas this year. There will be no happy Christmas. There will be no gifts. I will do nothing. Please do not buy me a gift. Get fucked. Fuck you, Tim Allen.
Enjoy your imaginary sky god. In this moment, I am sublime.
I am euphoric. Not for any phony Santa's gifts, but because I am blessed by a cruise.
Right? So he kind of goes neckbeard on his office.
And he hands them out.
Why?
Is surprised when people are pissed off at him the next day.
Yeah, why? Why would you do that? When I decide, I mean, could you imagine going to your job, which God willing you will have at some point. Like, you go to your job and you're like, everybody, for Christmas this year, I am doing nothing. Fuck you and goodbye. Or would you just not tell them?
Yeah, like, there might be an office Christmas party, and if they go, hey, are you coming to the Christmas party? You go, no, I'm going to be on a cruise, but thanks. Yeah. They'd say, oh, okay, have fun on your cruise.
Oh, I get that. Empty nest. How is your daughter?
Yeah.
That's what they would say.
Or they'd be like, hey, we're doing the Secret Santa thing. You're like, oh, don't put my name in. I'm not going to do the Secret Santa thing this year. And then they go, oh, that's weird, but okay. Instead of writing a letter telling everyone, fuck you, I'm not doing your dumb bullshit.
And giving it to your secretary, who clearly does not spend $6,000 a year on Christmas and probably relies on your gift.
Oh, yeah. Give it like, hey, secretary, I'm not buying you anything for Christmas this year. Enjoy it!
At least she doesn't have to buy him the scotch that you buy your boss. Which, they might as well have that section in stores. Like, when you go to Walmart, there should be like, stuff for the Yankee swap. Stuff for your kid. Stuff for your neighbor's kid. Scotch you buy your boss. So anyway, he does this bullshit like an asshole and starts... that's his office day. Meanwhile, Jamie Lee Curtis is flipping the fuck out because she gets run down on the street by the person who makes her Christmas cards every year. That's why it costs them $6,000 a year for Christmas. She has custom Christmas cards printed by a printer every year.
They are like custom engraved weird, like, special invitations to their Christmas Eve party.
Oh, yeah, they have embossing, they have raised elements. Yeah, they have they have gold filigree.
Oh my god, it's bone white. It's such a subtle color. Oh my god, there's even a watermark.
Dear God in heaven, do not tell me there's a watermark. Spare this one humble man. No, okay. So, this kind of preppy little dude is like, what? You're not having Christmas cards?
Well, at least tell me you're getting the invitations.
And she's like, well, no, we're not even having the party.
Oh, my.
Oh, no.
And then, fucking, okay, that would be bad enough. A guy who, like, runs out of his store to accost her, going like, oh, you better get your invitation order in, or we're not going to have time to do whatever. But then she goes to lunch with her friends, and he follows her to the restaurant and is like, hey, ladies, she's not getting Christmas cards or doing a Christmas thing. What the hell? And, like, record scratch, the entire restaurant is like, no Christmas. Oh, no, no Christmas. Come on, Christmas.
It's like Kilgrave said, shut up.
Like, it's fucking insane. And all of her friends are like, oh, my God, you can't not have a Christmas Eve party.
What am I going to do if you don't have a Christmas Eve party?
Why, I can't be home alone with Bill on Christmas Eve. You know how he takes to the drink.
That's his night for going to the cheating part of town.
Oh, God. No, that's basically, this town is split up into the cheating part of town and the huge douchebag
There's
part
a part
of town.
Where she call, where Jamie Lee Curtis calls Tim Allen, where she calls Donkey Kong, and she's like, hey, I don't want to do this because everyone in town will flip out on me. And he's like, don't even worry about it. You just need to be strong. And we're like, as the audience, you're like, yeah, relax, Jamie Lee Curtis. What are you talking about? People don't give that much of a shit. You'll be fine. No, everyone in town is an insane Christmas zealot.
Like, okay, the scouts come up and are like, hey, we've got a Christmas tree. We're selling Christmas trees. You always buy a super rad one every year. Are you going to buy one? No, we don't need a Christmas tree this year. And then, like, they lose their mind?
Oh, yeah. They don't just... It's not even a super fancy Christmas tree. They tell him it is $35. So of his $6,000 budget every year for Christmas, he buys a regular Christmas tree. The kind you get at Walmart.
And the reaction to this isn't, aw, we really wanted $35 because we're scouts and we like to get some money.
Yeah.
We want to do some our Camp Burry or whatever they have.
Yeah.
And then they go back to the truck and they're like, well, looks like the cranks aren't getting a Christmas tree. Cranks aren't getting a Christmas tree? Why, I'll fix those cranks. And yeah. It's just like six people hovering around this Christmas tree thing as Dan Aykroyd is like, we'll see about that.
Oh, yeah, and there's new people to be met for the only subplot in the movie that's not just fully explained in the trailer, because his across-the-street neighbor, who is the old man from the Mighty Ducks movies, the old man who owns the store,
yeah,
is like, well, I don't like that neighbor of mine. He's mean to my cat.
Which, no, your cat is just randomly, like, under his car occasionally, and he steps on your cat because he doesn't see it.
Yeah. So, anyway, he fights with his cat or something. So, that's a new subplot. There's this old man who lives across the street and doesn't like Tim Allen and calls Tim Allen old man, which Tim does not care for. Also, this old man's wife has some kind of cancer.
Some kind of cancer.
She's got to have some kind of cancer, so there's a sad thing later in the movie.
Yeah.
Don't worry, though, guys. The random lady I just mentioned, who's barely in the movie at all, she doesn't die. You just feel sad for her.
Yeah, you're just like, aw, cancer.
Christmas.
Aw, Christmas cancer.
Christmas cancer. The saddest cancer of all. Ugh. Even sadder than New Year's cancer.
And so, like, this is where the movie completely breaks, is the main problem. Is after this scene, because Dan Aykroyd shows up and he's like, hey, we always have the neighborhood Christmas lights go up, and we usually win the, like, prize for the best-looking street. Because apparently there's some contest that does that.
There are, actually. That's a real thing, yeah.
So he's like, look, we don't care if you're not celebrating Christmas. We'll put up your decorations for you. All you need to do is give it to us, and we'll do it for you. Like, no effort on your part. We just want to, like, win the contest and have our Christmas lights up. And their fucking Luther's response is, no, fuck you, no lights, no one gets anything.
We are not doing Christmas. And here's the thing, he owns all that shit already. It's in his basement.
Oh yeah, like they want Frosty. That's a big thing. He has a giant fucking snowman called Frosty, and they're like, look, just give us Frosty, we'll put him on, we will climb to the top of your roof and put Frosty up for you. All you need to do is get him out of your basement. And he's like, no.
Yeah, and at this point, earlier on in the film, there was a brief moment where we were like, oh, Tim Allen, I understand where you're going with this. That was a good idea, Tim. You should definitely go on a cruise with your wife. I would do that if I could. Taking the 10-day Christmas vacation I get and using it to drive somewhere because I've seen my girlfriend across from our boring Christmas tree a bunch of times and I would love to go somewhere interesting. That sounds like a great idea. I'm on board. Now I hate you. Now no one's on your side, Tim. Not even the audience.
No. And that was the problem is, at that point, they also had a wreath on their door. Inside, they had, like, a couple stocking things, and they had a few Christmas accoutrements. And as soon as someone says, hey, we want to put some lights up and we want to put decorations up for you, he freaks out, throws the wreath off, and is like, no Christmas, nothing Christmas, Christmas bad, Ma Hulk, smash yeah, Christmas!
Which kind of makes sense for the film, because at this point you're actually supposed to start seeing Tim Allen as the bad guy of the movie.
Yeah.
Because they start switching into having him do the stupidest shit in the world, and I don't just mean the most obtuse shit, where he's like, oh, I'm not even going to let you have the stuff that's in my basement, you assholes! Get away from here, I'm ruining your contest! Which he does, but also he starts, like, getting ready for the cruise by getting Botox.
Well, the first thing they do is they go get a tan.
Yeah, they go get, oh my god, the tan. So they go to get tans, and it's like a big surprise. He's like, hey, we're going to go get a tan before we go. I got a great deal, $60 for 12 sessions. We'll go to a tanning salon in the mall. And the wife's like, no! And he's like, well, we can't go on a cruise like this. We're all pasty and white and old.
I thought,
like,
the point of a cruise was to get a tan.
Which, correct. You know what's on? You know who's on a cruise? Pasty, white, old people. That's it.
That's the only people on a cruise.
Yeah. So I don't know why they're seeing he needs to sell this beach culture. But they go to a tan place, and of course the tanning salon lady is, like, comically dark orange.
Yeah.
And dumb.
Well, I mean, obviously.
Yeah, so...
But the weird thing with this is you have a scene where Jamie Lee Curtis gets into a skimpy bikini and is like, oh, no one should have to look at this. I'm so disgusting. And I'm like, no, you're still Jamie Lee Curtis.
No, I don't... Jamie Lee Curtis in her late 40s looks better than every girl I've ever dated. Put together. Jamie Lee Curtis has always been crazy hot.
She's, oh, yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis definitely looks better than a horrid abomination that is a combination of every girl I've dated smashed together into a horrible, undead, misshapen monstrosity that is an affront to God. That, and
is,
all
that,
also, is, holy.
That is also true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But all I'm saying here is that Jamie Lee Curtis is professionally hot for, or spent most of her career being professionally good looking. And just being a little older does not change that. She looks amazing in this bathing suit.
So you're like, okay, great. We know that that was a line written in the script, but it probably should have been changed because that was terrible.
Right, and then she gets into a tanning booth, and this is one of my favorite little things
yes,
in the movie.
Yes, I love this scene. You go ahead.
Okay, so she gets into the tanning booth, and she lies down, and she's all awkward, and then all of a sudden, a nebbish little man walks in, and there's no reason for him to. He doesn't explain what happens. He just walks into the room and goes, "Guy!" and then backs out of the room again, causing her to bonk her head on the roof of the tanning thing.
It's so amazing. Just a guy... I think he's, like, eating something. It looks like he's fucking eating, like, a burrito or
a churro. Wearing a sweater vest. He looks like a live-action The Critic.
And he just walks in, he's like, and then leaves, never to be seen again.
He's gone. He just, all he had to do was almost walk in. What the fuck is...
It's not like, oh, this is a guy that worked there.
Yeah, what the fuck is a nebbish little dude doing walking around the back of a tanning salon?
And what tanning salon didn't let you lock your door, or at least close your
door? There is no door. It's just an opening that he comes through.
Yeah, he's just like, yep, and then I'm in here now.
Yeah, and then he drops a Jerry Lewis noise, and then backs away from the film forever. He's just a contrivance. They could have done the exact same thing by having the power go out in the room so that she stands up suddenly and bonks her head. But instead, they have a random guy come in a little doofy green sweater vest with some big old bottlenose glasses, and he's, or bottleneck, bottle bottom glasses.
Coke bottle.
Coke bottle glasses. Bottle brush glasses. I don't know.
Some apple bottom glasses.
Some apple bottom jeans and some glasses with the fur.
Yeah.
And he comes in, sees her, goes, "Oh, you tanning person, I can't even see." And then she cuts her head, and yeah. God, this is just a parade of stupid bullshit.
So she gets out of there, and she's like, oh, I need something. I need a Band-Aid to stop this. My head is bleeding because I whacked it on your booth. Now, comes out to the front, and where she's talking to this person is the open reception area in a mall, which means everyone can now see Jamie Lee Curtis in her bikini. And of course, this is the perfect time for their local pastor to show up.
Oh yeah, it's like the priest of their church, a pastor of their church. And he comes walking up and just eye fucks her for about a good minute
and
a half.
Oh yeah, I'm like, what the fuck is happening? It's not even like, oh my, cover up. Oh, I shouldn't be seeing this. He's like, yeah.
Oh man, I remember True Lies.
And she's like trying to cover herself with the world's smallest
towel. She's got a fucking washcloth that she's trying to cover up her... Literally, this washcloth does not reach from the top to the bottom of her massive Jamie Lee Curtis boobs. Like, she doesn't even get all the cleavage.
And fucking just the worst...
It's because then, once the pastor's like, well, what is this now? And he's like fucking Frollo from Hunchback of Notre Dame and how judgy he is in this scene.
Oh,
he's like,
God.
A bathing suit? I shall see you excommunicated this moment. I mean, it's not that bad, but he's super upset to see her in a bathing suit.
And of course... Like everyone else is like, I hear you're skipping Christmas. I assume this will not affect you showing up at church. And she's like, well, no, we'll be on a cruise. And he's like, oh, how dare you? It is an affront to the Lord.
And at this point, a crowd has gathered.
And of course, Luther comes out in a fucking Speedo and is like, hey, I'm an asshole now. I've decided to go full asshole. Fuck you, priest.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care.
Plus, he's been in a tanning salon for almost 20 minutes, and now he's got the full-on George Hamilton.
Oh, yeah. He has been there for... almost no time, and is like, I'm orange now.
I am dark orange. Look at this. Look at me, I'm a giant fucking Oompa Loompa in a Speedo. Isn't that great? Hey, pastor, how you doing? I see I fucking my wife's tits. I do that constantly. What's up, giant audience? You like those? You want me to get her to take the top off? I got that going on. Also, what do you think of this banana hammock? I'm Tim Allen. How you doing?
Next scene.
That's fucking bullshit. From top to bottom.
No, every scene in this is every... person in a scene being as much of an asshole in the position that they have as possible. So the person behind the counter, huge asshole.
Oh yeah, she like won't get her a Band-Aid. She's like, you hurt yourself on my booth. That's impossible.
Oh, you're bleeding. Here, you can have a towel. I need a Band-Aid. And then she's like, hold on, can you give me a bigger towel? People are eye-fucking me. And she's like, well, you asked for a Band-Aid. And I'm like, I would murder you. I'll murder everyone here. You're all the worst of humanity.
I am your customer. Give me back all of my money plus some extra.
And, like, the preacher, huge asshole. The entire crowd, huge asshole.
Everyone. Everyone in the movie is a giant a-hole. And, okay, at this point, they go home, and then Jamie Lee Curtis shows up at his work to bitch at him about how he's canceling Christmas. Rightfully so. She should do this. She should be mad at him for being such a dick. Just, there's a point where there are literally protesters outside of her house chanting Free Frosty.
Yeah.
And she's like hiding from them. And it, oh god, she shows up at his work. Okay,
so first we get our cancer scare. Because they have to go to the hospital.
Oh yeah.
And, like, the neighbor lady is in the hospital, and they have to show up, and so you have that sort of like, tense, oh, it's the neighbor that doesn't like me, but we like your wife because she's not a huge asshole like you are.
Yeah.
And we're going to support you. And then they go to the fucking hospital cafeteria where it is revealed that Tim Allen has gotten Botox.
Yeah, he shows up with Botox and just does some Botox mugging, which I feel like other movies did around this time period, but, and it's always the same joke. It's that your face is frozen. You look like Jack Nicholson. He's already dark orange anyway, so he really just kind of looks like a jack-o'-lantern, and he can't eat. So yeah. He's just standing there and peaches are falling out of his mouth, and it's a gross scene.
And he tries to take a drink, and water just pours out of his mouth.
So here's the thing I'm curious about. This movie is based on a book called Skipping Christmas, and believe it or not, it's a John Grisham novel.
Yeah.
And I want to know, is there a Botox mugging scene in that book? Like, or I have to assume no. I have to assume that Tim Allen was like, look, if you put me in your movie, I need at least 15% of that movie to be me doing comic bullshit. Because that's what I am. I'm the fall down guy.
And it's basically at the Botox scene where you begin seeing Jamie Lee Curtis, like, do her turn on, like, I don't think this is right anymore. Like,
yeah.
We've probably gone too far with this.
Yeah, why did you get Botox? Botox isn't cheap. I thought we were doing this to save money.
Yeah.
You look like an idiot. And he's like, well, I'll need to do this for a couple of hours, and then it'll get back to normal, blah, 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 peaches.
Ugh.
And she's just like, but that's so stupid. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
And anyway.
And it's true. Why would you?
So we get one more fucking night of them being at their house being tormented by the neighbors who hire first Christmas carolers pull in on a flatbed truck and they're like, hello, they say to like Dan Aykroyd,
do you know anyone who could use some Christmas cheer?
They don't just start that way. They actually point to his house and say, that house doesn't have any lights on it. Are they Jewish?
Buddhist?
Are they perhaps Buddhist? And Aykroyd's like, no, nothing weird like that. They're just bad Christians.
They're not freaks. They're just bad at being Christian.
Yeah, literally. Hey, honestly, though, why wasn't he just Jewish? Why didn't he just go, guys, look, I realized, Tim Allen should have said this. Guys, look, I just realized my mom's Jewish. It makes me Jewish. I've decided that our family's going to explore that heritage. So
I'm sorry, but my mother's vagina was Jewish, which makes me Jewish, so sorry.
Yeah, we're Jews. Also, this movie would have been a million times better if there was a Jewish family in the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. If there was just a Jewish family, like, down the block, like, four houses going, what are these people doing?
Why are
and they don't have any lights on
nothing,
either.
No one bothers them because no one in the movie is religiously offensive. They're just weird about being mean to their own kind.
They're just like, hey, have you ever seen the Cranks at Synagogue? No. Oh, that's weird. I think they're Jewish now.
Yeah. That just help them out.
Just come on, give me something.
Throw me a favor. It would have been so great, because honestly, that would have been a joke I would have laughed at. If in this movie, while they were protesting the Crank's house for not having a fucking snowman on the roof, they pan two houses over, and the Goldsteins are there, and they're just like, what's this shit? What are you doing to him? No one's doing that to us. Well, of course not. You're Jews.
But the problem is, every joke in this movie is predicated on people being assholes.
Oh, yeah. You can't have a moment where no one's an asshole to them just because they're Jewish.
It's because, like I said, the joke is predicated on, oh, these people are jerks. And you're like, Okay, I get that. I got that within the first 10 minutes of this movie.
Oh, we gotta get one more stupid fucking thing that happens before the turnaround.
Well, we didn't really discuss the carolers.
Oh, right, I'm sorry. So we gotta do the carolers. So, at that point, Dan Aykroyd's like, yeah, you should definitely go right up to their house and sing carols at them until they come out Christian. And it's like they're trying to chase David Koresh out of the Branch Davidian compound.
Especially because they sing, like, Jingle Bells for 4 straight minutes.
Oh, yeah, it's all Jingle Bells over and over again and increasing in speed.
Just, and not even like, oh, yeah, we're singing, like, different verses. It's the same thing every time over and over again. I'm like, you're driving me insane.
So at first, they just sit on their chairs, and they're like, they'll go away eventually. And then the carolers circle around and look in at them through the side of their house window and sing Jingle Bells at them.
Oh, yeah. It's not just, we're carolers and we're going to sing a song here. We'll go to the next house, sing a song there. Hopefully someone will come out, maybe give us some money for a donation, whatever. It's, oh no, we're taking it personal. Because everything that anyone does is taken extremely personal in this movie.
Yeah. So basically, they stand outside and sing Jingle Bells at him as hard and as fucking loud as they can until they manage to scare the Crank family into their basement.
Yeah, they are huddling in the basement, trying not to listen to it, like they're in a, like, Night of the Living Dead, and zombies are outside, and they're just trying to get by.
Right, and literally, at this point, all the neighbors are in line. All the family members we've seen so far are outside, including, let's see, who's the rest of our dramatis personae that we haven't talked about yet? There's the friendly Black family, who, I don't remember their last name, but it might as well be the Black family, and they're outside singing. There's the little boy from Malcolm in the Middle, the youngest one,
yeah.
Dewey, I believe, is out there. His name is Spike in the movie, and he's the asshole who keeps prank calling them about Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah, I think it's Dewars. That's his name.
Dewars. It's Dewars.
Yeah. The middle kid, because there was Hubris, Dewars, and Lewis.
Yeah.
Were the kids from Malcolm in the Middle.
Well, technically, Malcolm is the middle kid. I mean, it's right there in the name of the show. Follow along. but you know what's weird is he's not the middle kid. He's the second youngest of four.
Yeah.
Stupid show.
You stupid, dumb, bullshit show.
Get your shit together.
Come on, man.
You at least have one extra younger brother so it fits. Anyway, there's them, and then there's the grumpy old people from across the street, and there's Dan Aykroyd. And Dan Aykroyd in the movie clearly has a family, but they are only ever shown in faraway long shots.
Yeah. As someone who's supposed to be like, I'm like the moral leader of this small community, and I'm all about us getting together, and we need to have Christmas, and I'm Dan Aykroyd, and we need to get together and have all these lights and these snowmen.
All you need to do is give us Frosty the Snowman, and we'll leave you alone.
God, I'm Dan Aykroyd, and all of that, and yet, no family. We never see his house lit up.
We don't see his house. We see people setting up at his house. He has a family. You see them in long shots at the distance, and usually they're blowing themselves up with Christmas lights. There's two jokes about Dan Aykroyd's family in the movie. They're both, oh, I blew myself up with Christmas lights.
Yeah, it's, oh, I electrified myself trying to put up lights.
Yeah.
Great.
That's Dan Aykroyd's family. They have a whole secondary comedy happening off in the background somewhere that we're just thankful we don't have to see. And so they're all standing outside just shouting at them. Also, one last thing that happened, the police stopped by at one point to sell their annual holiday police calendar.
Yeah, which I have to imagine is maybe upwards of $12.
Oh, it is $10. They mentioned in the movie that it is a $10 bill.
And
a thin 10.
So not only is, again, fucking Luther like, no, no Christmas, no doing anything, fuck you, but that means the cops are now like, oh, well, we hate you now. You didn't give us $10, so we hate you now.
Also, we're the only cops in town.
We're literally the only cops that exist here.
It's just Cheech and Busey, cops at large.
Oh my God, I would watch Cheech and Busey, a cop show.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Oh my God.
Damn it, this movie is wasting my potential and my time.
You showed me Cheech and Busey, the best buddy cop film ever, and you didn't capitalize on it.
Oh God, now I want Cheech and Busey so bad. I will buy so many Cheech and Busey t-shirts.
Give me your calendar, and I will give you $10 to make a Cheech and Busey.
And I'm okay that it's Jake Busey. I'm alright with that. I mean, he's got his dad's teeth, we're fine. He's a big goofy weirdo.
He'll be slightly more professional.
Yeah.
Than Gary would
be. We could get Gary in for a couple of episodes. He could show up in the Christmas special of Cheech and Busey. Maybe he's their chief?
Maybe.
Oh, man. And then every time he tries to call him into their office to yell at them, you know, he's like, get in here, you two! And he gets in there, and he's just like, yeah, so, you listen, because drinking is...
Hobbits! You gotta get them hobbits!
Got a lot of Native American art.
I need turquoise gin.
Toothbrush.
He said, all right, no, you go.
You think about what I said.
And then they get out, and Jake Busey's like, you know the chief is right.
Turn in your badge and your helicopter. Chief, we don't have a help.
Do it. Do it. God damn it. So, and the fucking way that they deal with Carolers being there is Luther takes his hose and hoses down his walkway.
Oh, so they'll fall down. The Carolers are gone.
And the Carolers come back the next night, but now they slip slide all around and essentially, like, break bones.
Yeah, and then Luther also accidentally freezes the neighbor's fluffy white cat. And that results in a shot of a catsicle with a cartoon face on it.
Yep.
And I was right earlier, the sound effects have been removed from the movie, but whatever, I don't care. But this shot is a straight-up cartoon smile attached to the front of a frozen cat.
Which, up to this point, while everyone has been acting completely ridiculous and just being douchebags the whole time, it has at least been fairly grounded in sort of slapstick reality. But as soon as you get the cat who is frozen and then later in the film, fine.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, you just randomly became a cartoon for like 10 seconds.
And not just became a cartoon in terms of mode, but literally used cartooning to indicate that the cat was alive inside of the ice.
Yeah, you had a CGI frozen, like, icicles coming off of it cat who's like, meow.
Yeah, oh my god. It was like the moment in Jingle All the Way with a reindeer. So annoying. All right, so we got to get to the big turn in the movie, the big point where it all comes crashing down.
God. Okay.
By the way, also, everyone at Tim Allen's office hates him and yells at him when he goes into his office.
When he walks into his office, everyone's like, Scrooge, bah humbug.
Well, anyway, finally, here's the big turnaround. The girl calls from Peru and is like, I changed my mind.
Doesn't even call from
right.
Peru.
No, you're right.
Calls from fucking Miami and is like, hey, I'm in Miami. I'm on my way home. Right now.
You haven't changed anything, have you?
I have my Peruvian boyfriend, who might be my husband now, and I was telling him all about our Christmas things, so I certainly hope that everything's gonna happen. Are we still having the Christmas Eve party? Even asks, are you still having it? Because she has realized that there's a possibility it might not. But no, Jamie Lee Curtis is like, yes, we are. We are definitely having it. Everything is going to be the same when you get here because I've freaked the fuck out for no reason, which, and again, everyone in this movie, horrible assholes. Your daughter is calling you when she's like 4 hours away from getting in.
Yeah. And she's like, someone's going to be able to pick me up, right? Also, you have two house guests you need to look after for several days. Also, you better be doing it. At this point, I started to assume that. But she kind of looks like a budget Denise Richards, right? That's the look you get from her. She's got that kind of vacant, back behind the nothing back behind the eyes expression going on all the time. Very friendly Peruvian boyfriend. He seemed pretty awesome. But when she calls, she's just like, nothing's different, right? I would freak out if anything was different. I was like, the fuck? Does she have a disability that they didn't tell us about? If she's like, if I get there and there's no party, I am going to rock back and forth until my butt is raw.
Oh, yeah. If I go there and there aren't three yellow ornaments followed by three red ornaments, I'm going to lose my shit.
Oh, I'm going to start waving my arms around. I'm going to get that weird strength I get. That was the only thing that could possibly make sense to me. If she's like, I get home and there's no Christmas party, I will flip out and break everything in your house until you have me lobotomized.
And this is on Christmas Eve.
It's like 10 in the morning Christmas Eve.
And she's going to get there at like 8 or some shit. And so they have like,
and of course,
eight hours to get everything together.
Right.
But this is the thing. If they had left for their cruise, because they were like, oh, we're going to leave for the cruise on Christmas morning, which, no, that's bullshit. No cruise is leaving Christmas morning.
Right.
If it had left a day earlier and they had been on the cruise ship, should have been like, I flew all the way from Peru. I'm flying in. And they'd be like, well, you're fucked.
You're stupid as hell. You don't fly cross country on. First of all, how do they not know? She's on a Peace Corps salary. She used her dad's credit card to fly home as a surprise.
Oh, yeah.
Surprise, Dad. I spent $1,400. Fuck you, family. You don't fucking care about that.
Ugh. And yeah, the family, I'm like, how? How is this not something that they were like, hey, yeah, this is happening. And they, again, the parents are jerks because they weren't like, they talked to the daughter and didn't go, oh, we're going on a cruise for Christmas at any point.
No.
Like, oh, you're
gone
for the holidays,
think,
we're going
to
do whatever.
For some reason, they think it's super important that she thinks all the time that nothing changes when she's gone.
Yeah.
This is not a good life lesson to impart to your kids.
No. It was, our world revolves around you needing you to stay in your comfort zone.
Oh, yeah. The speed at which my dad converted my bedroom into his spare computer room when I left that house. Like, I was like, parents, I'm moving. And he was like, oh, good. And he started pushing stuff into where my room was. I was like, what are you guys going to do for Christmas? Oh, fucking nothing. You get the fuck out of here.
Whatever we want, you get out.
Old enough to live somewhere else, old enough to buy your own Christmas presents. Goodbye.
Have a good day.
Yeah, but not her. No, she's got to get kept a child. So anyway, that causes Jamie Lee Curtis to just lie through her teeth to her daughter. Because she's like, everything is exactly the same. If you come home, there'll be the exact Christmas party we always have forever.
Yeah.
We'll never die.
So this leaves them scrambling to get Christmas in order.
And oh my god, here comes the fun. Just take a second. Just take a moment between us talking to guess what happens. If you think everyone in town will suddenly turn into an asshole who's mad at them because of their hubris, even though everyone in town always wanted them to have Christmas
apparently 3 weeks of everyone in town going, you need it. How are you? Dare you celebrate? You fuck celebrate Christmas right now.
And then they show up and they're like, "Hey, help us celebrate Christmas." Well, fuck you then. No.
Yeah, like Tim Allen, I need to go buy a tree. There's a the tree lot where the scouts are selling.
Yeah,
and he's like, "Great, I need a tree. I want to buy a tree off of you." And they're like, "All we have is this tree that looks like someone has purposefully stripped all of the needles off of it."
Yeah, it's the fucking peanuts tree.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, well, how much is that? I'll give you the, like, $20 for it. He goes, oh, nope, $75 now.
Jerk.
Fuck you, crank.
Asshole. Like, what?
And the thing is, while this conversation is happening, and again, everyone's a huge jerk, in the background, you can see a lot full of Christmas trees for sale.
Right. Here's the biggest important thing in this last slapdash run to get all the shit that they need for a Christmas party, is that they are in Chicago. They set that shit up. They're in Chicago. And yet there's one Christmas tree lot, and there's one fucking grocery store.
Oh, yeah. So Jamie Lee Curtis, while he's getting the Christmas tree, Jamie Lee Curtis has to go find the honey ham.
Oh, yeah. And she gets a fucking canned ham like it's a big deal.
Like, that's the thing, is they were talking about, like, oh, I need to get the whatever honey ham, because that's what we always have. We always get this honey...
The hickory honey ham.
The hickory honey ham, and you're thinking, oh, okay, this is going to be like one of those honey-baked hams that's like... I go to a store that specifically sells it, and I buy a big roast ham.
They tell me she buys a canned ham. She buys a $12 canned ham. What is she spending $6,000 on? How much do those invitations fucking cost?
Right? Everything in this movie that I've seen, I'm like, so you already have all of your decorations.
Yeah.
You already essentially are just buying, like, a $10 calendar, $35 tree. You have maybe spend, like, let's go wacky and say you spent $400 on invitations because you're insane.
Yeah, well, you buy two sets of them, so that would...
You buy two sets plus Christmas cards, and you're spending $400. Like, the amount of stuff that I kept keeping track of them spending, I go, there's no way. There's no possible way you spend that much. Your Christmas party, when you go buy stuff, you're like, oh, I have to buy, like, a bunch of wine and some, like, hors d'oeuvres and whatever. And I go, great, maybe, just maybe, because you bought a bunch of top-shelf stuff, you're like, oh, I spent like $1,000.
Yeah. No, that would kind of make sense. But they spend $6,000 and they fucking serve a canned ham.
Yeah. Ugh. And so we get a Jingle All the Way scene where there's one canned ham and it's her and this old lady rushing to get there.
Oh, yeah. And if you think there's going to be a slapstick fall down and she doesn't get the ham, you're right. And then she tries to buy another ham that's apparently in the store.
She tries to buy it off of Andy Daly.
Yeah, Andy Daly, who's in this movie for 4 seconds.
Poor Andy Daly, you had to have Jamie Lee Curtis buy a ham from you.
Yeah, and except no, because they don't sell her the ham. She ends
no, they
up
go- do.
No, remember she goes home with smoked...
Oh, yes, right. Because they do sell her the ham when she pays them, like, $200
for
it.
Yeah, no, you're right. She buys
and then walks outside and is like, finally, I have a ham. Whoops!
And she just falls down.
Slips, slides, the ham goes into the street, and a giant semi-truck runs it over.
Right, so the ham gets destroyed, and she comes home with smoked trout, and then... A running gag throughout the rest of the movie is, ew, smoked trout.
Smoked trout? You can't have that for Christmas. Yeah, smoked
gross.
Trout.
You know what's fucking delicious? Smoked fish.
Actually, no, it isn't. Well, I fucking hate fish.
You hate all fish. But for everyone else in the world who is correct about fish and knows that fish is pretty good, smoked fish is awesome.
Oh,
it's
no.
not great for Christmas.
No, it's not a Christmas food, but if you're like, I've got this smoked trout.
Also, was that literally the only meat in the store? Like, they had one canned ham left in the store, and she was like, well, I can't get that. What can I get for Christmas? Well, I can get a roast, or I can get a not canned ham.
I could get
a turkey, a goose, a duck, a chicken. I could get
any kind of bird.
Any kind of bird.
Any sort of beef product,
oh, yeah,
maybe.
I could get a big old roast and roast that up. And she comes home with smoked trout. That is on you, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, this is not our fault. You done goofed.
You could have gone... Your choices were limitless. You could have bought any number of other meats. Or
so you
go to another store!
You checked one store.
You're in Chicago. Who are you kidding?
Oh, God. Okay. So, they get in there, and they also, like... Okay, Luther comes back with his bullshit tree that sucks, immediately throws it away because he realizes it's garbage, goes up to Token Black Family and is like, hey, Token Black Family, you guys are leaving. You're celebrating Christmas at your parents' place, and I want to borrow your tree.
He should have been like, hey, Token Black Family, you guys are leaving for Christmas. How is it that the whole neighborhood isn't just shenanigans about that?
And they're like, oh, well, we put lights up.
We put our fucking lights up and shit. We spent maybe $20 on a tree and we're done. It was easy. Everyone left us alone. Look, we're driving out of the movie. See, you fucking sucker.
You dumb idiot. If you had let people put lights up, nothing would have been wrong.
Yeah, you boob. And anyway, he fucking rents their tree off them.
Yeah, he's like, look, let me just give me the key to your house. I'll go over there. I'll get your tree. I'll set it up in my house. Everything will be fine. And he's like, all right, but don't break any ornaments. Oh, well, you might as well smash cut to him breaking ornaments,
like,
because that's the dumbest thing you could say.
Yeah, he might as well just dump them all out in a pile on the kitchen counter and start smacking them with a tennis racket after that.
So he gets Doers to come help him.
He enlists Doers, the local boy, to come along. There's a lot of local boys, but he has to get the one who's famous.
Yeah.
He's like, Doers, my lad, come with me, for I need you to break ornaments in a comical fashion.
Yeah, and just the same shit from the trailer was like, oh, you broke an ornament. Oh, don't worry, it wasn't anything special. It just says baby's first Christmas on it. Now let me throw the remnants of this into his room.
You know what? He's right. It's not that fucking special. It's a generic ball ornament of the kind that you only see in movies because people don't really buy those to put on their tree all that much, with glitter puffy paint on it that says baby's first Christmas. Any idiot could make that in a minute. That's the sort of thing you make when you're in kindergarten and your parents reluctantly hang it on the tree. It half says Noel on it. You're like, no, look at this. It says Noel. Here, I'll put that on the tree.
It says no way. Do you get it? Because there's Noel.
Okay, so there you go. They break a bunch of ornaments, drag the tree across the street, but one of their neighbors, kind of goofy-looking guy, a kind of nerd, he's like a nerd. We haven't seen him before in this moment.
Some nerdlinger is like, police, I think someone's gone insane and is stealing that man's Christmas
tree.
They're
robbing the Black Family.
This is so weird. Normally, I would assume it's the other way around, but it looks like someone's robbing the Black Family.
Yes, we're the most upper crust of all cities in the world, don't you know? I'm surprised they aren't just lighting the tree on fire. Anyway, the two cops who hate Tim Allen, show up to arrest him.
Because they're the only two cops that exist.
Yeah, and then they immediately, as they're arresting him, berate him for not buying a calendar.
Yeah, like that would have been something. Like, oh man, you totally could have gotten away with theft if only you had purchased our calendar. You see, we're the most corrupt cops that exist, and we're fine with B&Es as long as you buy our calendar.
Yeah, this is what happens if you only have two cops in the whole town. Of course they're going to go corrupt. They have absolute power.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the amazing cop duo of Cheech and Busey throw him in the back of their wagon to drive him off, and then Doers shows up, and he's like, hey, he didn't... In the one moment in this movie.
The only moment where someone isn't a huge asshole is Doers is like, hey, cops... Here are the keys to that guy's house. He had permission to go in there and permission to take that tree. He wasn't actually stealing anything. And they're like, oh, well, I guess we'll have to let you go.
Well, count yourself lucky that this kid came along. In fact, we might still arrest you anyway for not buying calendars.
We might arrest you because you don't like Christmas.
Brr. So anyway, he gets the tree into his house and knocks it over a bunch more times and bullshit and sets it up. And then one of their problems is that they can't invite any of the usual people to their Christmas party because it's too late. So instead they decide to invite all the neighbors that hate them.
Yeah, and they can't quite... They're trying to get Frosty up. So that's Tim Allen is up on the roof trying to get Frosty up.
Yeah, and you get the big slapstick moment where he...
fall off the roof!
Yeah, and he gets tangled up in ropes and Frosty shatters.
Now, let me paint you a picture of what pissed me off with this.
Sure.
He's got Frosty up on the roof. Now, in order to secure him and make sure Frosty doesn't go anywhere, he has, for some reason, put a noose around Frosty's neck.
Oh, yeah. Like a straight-up hanging noose. Like 13 loops and everything.
It wasn't like, oh, no, I just had to secure it, and the easiest way to do it is because it's a snowman, you've got those, like, ball sections. I just did it around the neck because that was the easiest place to put it. Right. No, he straight makes a noose for it.
He makes a noose. And so you see the noose, and you're like, oh, that's some foreshadowing. He's going to accidentally hang Frosty. And
like everyone... that, everyone's going to be so pissed off at him because they're like, he's hanging Frosty. He hates Christmas even more. He's gone insane.
Yeah.
But no, what happens is he's up there, and he gets his moment of like, oh, I'm on a roof, and I'm a bumbling idiot husband on a roof, which means I'm going to fall off of this.
Yeah.
But he falls off, and what happens is... somehow, the noose that was tied around Frosty's neck is off of his neck and around Tim Allen's leg.
Yeah, so he gets caught hanging upside down from his own house.
And Frosty breaks.
And Frosty shatters. Instead of what should have happened, which is him hanging Frosty in the town getting pitchforks. That would have been the correct moment, because even following the through line of the movie, the next scene would have made sense. Because what happens is, he falls off the house and... For record, there were a lot of people from the neighborhood hanging around outside his house asking him if he needed help. They were saying, hey, can we help? And he was like, no, because I'm conditioned to say fuck you. So fuck you. Even though he desperately needs help.
Yeah.
And then when he falls off, Aykroyd comes over and he's like, hey, man, what were you doing? I was trying to put up Frosty. Our daughter's coming home and it's an emergency and we need to help her out. And then Aykroyd's
like, oh, wait, your daughter's coming home? All right, well, everyone gather around, citizens.
Yeah.
Your emperor is speaking. We now have to do everything we can to make sure Blair doesn't freak the fuck out.
You guys saw last time she freaked the fuck out. She beat in all of our windshields.
You know what will happen. She'll burn your house down if she doesn't have Christmas the way that she expects it.
Say goodbye to all your pets' necks. So, she'll go full on Lenny.
And he just begins commanding people. He's like, you, family who has a Frosty on their house, take it down, bring it over here, put it on their house. You... get lights. Put it around their house. You.
Jamie Lee Curtis, what are you serving for dinner? Smoked trout.
You. That's bullshit.
Someone go get a fucking ham. Like, he's just in charge. And if the torches and pitchfork scene that we were proposing a second ago, where he accidentally hangs Frosty, had happened, instead, Aykroyd would have just had his heel turn, where he comes out and stops in front of the crowd and says, hang on, let's save Christmas for these people. You know, it could have happened that way.
It could have. But, and that would be why there was a crowd... They're all pissed off. But no, it was just there's a crowd because someone was putting up a Christmas decoration.
Yeah.
And that is enough to get literally everyone on their street to show up.
So, at this point, while at the store where she had to buy the ham, Jamie Lee Curtis runs into a random man who we don't know who he is.
But he knows them. He's like, oh, how you doing, man? Oh, Blair's coming. Oh, that's fine. She's a great girl.
I love Dixie Kong.
And I hope she's having fun in the Peace Corps. That'll be great. And she invites him, and she's like, who the fuck is that guy?
Yeah, and then they get the party going, and the only people at the party are the neighbors, and then for some reason, a bunch of random assholes from the movie, if you watch the background closely. The asshole who runs the tanning salon is there.
Yeah, the person who was a huge jerk and outed her in a restaurant for not getting invitations is there.
Yeah, and he's just happy to be at this party, which, that guy is the biggest asshole in the movie. He is so mad that she drops his business that he follows her to a private event and berates her in front of her friends because she's not a good customer at his store.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, grats. Again, this is Chicago. There's more than one store you can go to for invitations.
Yeah.
You lost business.
Oh, no.
Someone who apparently spends $3,000 on invitations every year.
Yeah.
You lost them.
Yeah. Why? Why would you do that? Just suck it up for the year, you know?
Ugh.
They'll be back. She even told you why she was leaving.
So, they need more time to set things up. So they send the police to pick up Dixie Kong.
In a moment where Aykroyd just walks out into the police and is like, yeah, you two, go get a police escort for the girl.
You, Cheech and Busey, I need you on the case of getting this girl from
the
airport.
They're like, we don't even want to help. That guy didn't buy a calendar. And he's like, do I need to call the chief?
I'm apparently the emperor of Chicago.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, at least this movie's set in Chicago, which is like the most corrupt city in the universe. So it kind of makes sense that this guy's kind of like a... like,
weird, like he's mafioso.
Yeah, he's like Al Capone or something, and he's just like, look, you two, get under my line or I'll have you sent to the fishes.
Sent to the fishes.
Whatever.
Yeah, I'm just gonna UPS you to the fishes.
I'm gonna send you to the Fishes Islands. They're wonderful. It's summer down there, you know. Dancing girls.
A little something for daddy.
A little something for Dan Aykroyd-y.
So they go pick them up, and they need more time, so they're just driving at like 15 miles an hour down the street.
Oh, yeah.
Where they see a guy breaking into a house.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so they gotta set up that, because that's the last unintended to subplot. Let's not forget, though, that while they're being driven home on the scenic route at 15 miles an hour, the Peruvian husband and the Denise Richards-looking Blair are just staring goggle-eyed out the window and being like, oh, this is nice. They are dumb as fuck.
Yeah. No, they really deserve each other.
Yeah. Okay, so...
So they catch a guy. They catch a thief, and they're like, all right, we have a thief now.
Oh, and that leads to a moment where they catch a thief, and then they smack his face up against the side of the car, and Blair and her husband freak the shit out.
Like, begin just screaming and don't stop.
Yeah, and it's a perp. It's just some guy. It's not like they caught Cthulhu. And they were like, look at this tentacle monster. Blah, 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 blah. Look at that, I caught the thing.
No, it's just a guy slams up against the glass. And I can imagine going, ah! Like,
yeah.
You freak out for a good second. But they're just like, ah! 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 Ah!
Yeah.
Ah!
No, it's... You can tell this movie was directed by some nobody, like Joe Roth or something, but it was written by Chris Columbus.
Yes, it was.
Which means it's all of these dumb jokes are just leftover Home Alone bullshit.
Yeah.
That's what we're getting. So anyway, this perp ends up going to the party and they just leave him in the car.
Yeah, he's just in the police car and fucking Doers lets him out.
Yeah, and let's you know, the party starts and everyone's in there and it looks exactly like normal and there's totally a ham. And for some reason, there's a little bit of shtick about how we have to conceal the fact that we got tans from
the daughter. You need to use this, like, whitening agent because the daughter can't know you got a tan.
He looks like a plague doctor. It's so dumb. And he's like, why am I doing this? Why do I have to dress in all black? And she's like, your daughter can't know you got a tan? What?
Yeah, because, again, if literally anything is different, including your skin tone,
yeah,
she will freak out.
Yeah, and what happens instead is she looks at him and goes, you got some sun. And she's like, happy for him? And he's like, No, I didn't. I'm wearing dark colors. No, I did not get any sun. And she's like, that's weirder than if you had just said yes.
So the
fucking guy that Jamie Lee Curtis runs into.
Yeah.
He shows up at the party and no one knows who he is.
He's the goddamn life of the party.
Yeah.
He's like, I speak, like, Spanish, yeah. And I know all about Peruvian music.
Yeah.
And I have a, like, pan flute with me.
Yeah. But no one knows who he is.
No. Everyone's like, who is this guy? But he knows everyone.
Okay. Yeah, so that happens, and then Doers lets the fucking thief out.
Yeah, Doers is like, you look hungry, you should have some food. And he's like, oh yeah, I'll totally be just having some food, and then I'll go right to jail.
Yeah, so I don't understand why the guy doesn't just run away, but instead he decides to rob the house the police are in.
He decides to rob the house that not only the police are in, but like a giant crowd of people are in.
Yeah, so he just walks in and goes upstairs to start robbing the house, and not knowing what's upstairs. I guess he just assumes that the upstairs is empty, so he goes up and start robbing the house. Tim Allen gets his last moment of being an asshole in, because he pops into Jamie Lee Curtis into the kitchen. He's like, okay, this is all going very well. We did a good job. We could leave for our cruise tomorrow.
Yeah, we could just let the two of them have the house for Christmas. We can go on the cruise. We don't need to do this. And she's like, how dare you not want to now celebrate Christmas with our daughter, who is probably, if we leave and something is different, going to, I assume, murder everyone in here.
Yeah, and this is also the last moment where Tim Allen's right. He spent a ton of money on that cruise, and that cruise was really important to him.
Yeah.
Apparently, Tim Allen's feelings in this movie mean nothing.
And then he gets his last jab in at everyone, where they have a toast, and he's just like, yeah, thanks for showing up, idiots, I'm leaving.
Fuck this. And he just goes outside in the snow, and sure enough,
he sees the neighbors, who are alone, the old couple, like the cancer-ridden lady and his and the husband.
The guy who owns the hockey store in the Mighty Ducks.
And he's like, oh, I see them all alone, and they're loving Christmas, even though they are whatever.
Why aren't they at the party already?
Because apparently the guy doesn't like them, which, again, is weird, because it's not, oh, I saw them, and you know what sounds like will cure cancer and what they definitely want to do? Even though they've put up all of these Christmas decorations, and I know they celebrate Christmas, I bet they'll want a cruise.
Yeah.
So he gets the Christmas spirit and is like, hey man, here's a cruise. Here's my cruise. You can go ahead and go on my cruise tomorrow.
And then they argue with him about it for about 15 minutes. I want to say for forever. It's like 3 hours.
And he's like, but they bring up entirely relevant things because going on a 10-day vacation with like 2 hours prep time is dumb. And they're like, it's in your name. How are we going to be able to get onto your cruise ship? And he's like, oh, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it.
Yeah.
And then it's, oh, well, what are we going to do with all of like our packing or whatever? He's like, just do it now. Okay, what about our cat? Someone needs to take care of the cat. I'll take care of your cat.
Right.
Okay, what if our kid shows up? He didn't say
he was... Oh, that was so annoying.
He said he wasn't gonna... He might show up for Christmas, but what if he does? We assumed he wouldn't, but he said he might. What if he does?
Yeah.
Oh, well, whatever. Who cares?
No, the answer is the most maudlin, unearned bullshit in the movie, because they're just like, well, Barry said he might stop by. Oh, Margaret, be reasonable. Barry hasn't been here in 15 years. Like, there's just, oh, be extra sad. We have cancer and our son's a delinquent.
Well, of course he comes from Assholeburg.
Well, yeah. Why don't we send some fucking carolers to chase him out of wherever he is then? Why don't we do that?
So they're finally like, yeah, sure. Thank you very much for this $3,000 gift that we kind of don't want.
Also, I really like the part where they're like, well, we can't take this cruise. It has your name on it. And he just
says, no, that's what I said. Yeah. And he's just like, I'll take care of it.
I love that because... What are you doing to take care of it? Tomorrow's Christmas. Who are you talking to?
No, you don't. They're gonna... After this movie ends, the next day, Christmas morning, they go to the fucking marina
or
whatever.
It's the airport.
And they're like, hey, we'd like to get on a cruise. I'm sorry, this is post-9/11 and this isn't in your name. Get out.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if they bring Aykroyd with them, right? Because
Aykroyd will just be like, well, do you want me to talk to your manager?
Yeah, send you to the fishes, I will.
I'll send the fishes to you.
Because we're landlocked.
I'll smoke your trout.
Yeah, so maybe they can bring Aykroyd along and have him smooth those wheels.
So,
That's right, smooth those wheels. I didn't say grease it, because that's Dan Aykroyd's thing now.
He's smoothing wheels.
He's using mixed metaphors. He could have knocked him over with a fender.
So, we get back to the party. The fucking burglar tries to leave, and Luther catches him on the roof on the way back, which he then falls down and gets rearrested.
Yeah, and someone smacks him. It's the guy that no one at the party knows.
But it turns out he was that Santa from the beginning selling the umbrellas.
Who could give a shit?
No.
That is not an earned... Oh my god, it's the and Santa!
This was, like, just the barest, smallest scene in this movie at the very beginning.
Yeah.
If in the background of every scene, there had been this guy selling umbrellas...
And getting to know everyone in town.
And so then we heard, like, oh yeah, they were having a conversation about, like, Blair being in Peru. While he was in the background, I'd be like, oh, this makes perfect sense. But yeah. No, there was one scene where he shows up in the movie, and he's in the... Then at the end, you're like, this was not earned at all.
Yeah.
You don't get this reveal.
And it's not like it's a big deal. That just means this guy dresses up as Santa and sells umbrellas on the street. That's not very noble.
No. But he's like, hits him with, like, knocks the burglar out with an umbrella, and he goes, I told you, you might need an umbrella. Meh. Wah, 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 da, da, da.
Yeah. And that results in him going off. He gets in a Volkswagen Beetle, and then the movie ends with him being pulled through the sky by reindeer in his Volkswagen Beetle.
Ho, ho, ho.
Which I had guessed in this movie that it would end with a dumb Santa reveal. That was my big... I didn't say the meaning of this, but I had guessed while we were watching it that it was going to end with a dumbass Santa reveal like a sitcom.
Yeah.
And for it to actually happen...
Oh my god, that was the worst. So, okay, that was Christmas con el Cranks.
Con el Cranky Kongs.
So... This movie, Jesus Christ, our predictions were only that it would be the same as the trailer.
Yes.
100% true. The only weird thing that happened was that literal Santa showed up.
Yeah, also there was a whole subplot with Cancer Neighbor, and then the other subplot with the robber.
Yeah.
Which, why? Why even bother?
The robber thing makes zero sense to me, because you already gave Luther his, oh, I've learned the true meaning of Christmas... moment when he gives the cruise away and then is heading back to the thing.
It's like maybe Chris Columbus can only write movies what feature a bandit that strikes on Christmas.
Apparently.
Yeah.
It's contractually obligated that if he's going to make a movie for you, you will include a burglar on Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, that bandit better strike at Christmas. That's the day to strike. That's how bandits get you.
So.
I'm Chris Columbus and this is my idea.
So we'll just do our best and worst for this movie. Best thing in the movie for you, Jeff.
Motherfucker.
What stands out for you as the one tolerable moment of this movie?
The Peruvian husband seemed like a nice guy. There was a point where they got together and him and fake Santa sang some Peru songs. That was kind of nice. And it was like, oh, look at that. They have a shared interest and they're hanging out and they have, for some reason, oh god, I completely forgot about that. That's going, okay, I just figured out what my least favorite thing is. They have like a backing band and they do some Peruvian songs and it's nice.
Yeah, randomly a guy with a pan flute.
And not only that, but just because it's that husband and that fake Santa, they're like the two people in the movie that don't have anything to do with the endless assholery that is the rest of the movie. So for a minute, it's like, oh, this is nice.
Oh, that's almost like a normal thing that would happen.
Yeah. Your favorite thing?
So my favorite thing is also that guy, because the Santa, when Jamie Lee Curtis meets him in the store when she's buying a bunch of wine and stuff for the party, he's like, oh, how's Blair doing? Are you having a Christmas Eve party? That's great. And he's just nice and friendly. And their interaction is like, hey, man, you're a cool guy. Do you want to come to my Christmas party? He's like, that would be great. Thanks. And leaves. And I'm like, oh, my God. There was a scene where people weren't assholes to each other.
Yeah.
Like, even in the few scenes where someone is being sort of okay, like Doers getting him out of the cop car, everyone else is still an asshole.
Oh, yeah. Every single person in every scene is an asshole.
It's the only scene where everyone in the scene isn't a jerk.
Yeah.
It's just these two people, they're having a pleasant conversation. She's confused because she doesn't know him, but no one's a jerk.
Yeah.
So that was my favorite thing in the movie.
So I'm going to say my least favorite thing in the movie is the entitlement that all the characters are displaying 100% of the time. There's one point where a service person brings in a ham or something to the house, and Aykroyd apologizes to them for having to work on Christmas Eve. But at the same time, Aykroyd has hired a band, or Tim Allen has hired a band to perform. There are cooks, there are entertainers. They blow out all the fuses in the neighborhoods by trying to put up one more extra string of lights. And there's a bunch of, like, Chicago construction workers outside, like up on poles in the frozen north in the middle of the night so they can have this party, and no one mentions shit about this. This movie is the most entitled white bullshit movie I've ever seen. It just made me furious the whole way through it.
Oh yeah. Well, and my least favorite thing is also generally your least favorite thing in most Christmas movies, which is if you choose not to celebrate Christmas in any way, usually it's I'm a business dad, and I'm too busy businessing in order to Christmas.
Yeah, usually it's I have to scale back my Christmas expectations because my job is hard. That's the usual thing.
It's I have to work on Christmas, and the family is, how dare you?
I haven't even seen one that's Christmas yet. Often it's the week before Christmas. Jingle All the Way, it was Christmas. It was 3 days before Christmas. And then the other one, Jack Frost that we watched, was literally like 3 days before Christmas. He needed to go on this tour, and he would be back by Christmas Eve, and they were like, not good enough.
No, my least favorite thing in this and any Christmas movie is the unreasonable demands of people for Christmas. It's not even enough to go, oh, I celebrate Christmas, or I have a wreath on my door, or whatever. It's, if you do not do everything that you can, you had better get a ham, you had better put up lights, you had better put up a Frosty, you
spend
had better...
$6,000.
If you do not spend $6,000, then you have not done Christmas. And it's that horrible, fucking rich, upper class, like, oh, if you didn't spend $6,000 on Christmas, then you don't really like Christmas.
And all the shots of Tim Allen trying to bargain with people in this movie, where he's like, I got a great deal on these tans. I talked him down from 80 to 60, or I'll give you $30 for that tree, because that tree's not very good. It's like, dude, you spend so much money on shit. You have credit cards coming out your fucking ass, and I don't want to watch you bargain with poor people.
Yeah.
It just makes me hate you. I hated you before I was supposed to in this movie.
Yeah. It's, the whole movie makes me hate everyone.
It's part of, you know, part of being unemployed this year. It's not been a great year. And we had actually planned to cancel our Christmas party. Me and my girlfriend usually have one. And we were like, we're probably just not going to have one this year, guys. It's not a big deal. Don't want to give us anything. We're just going to skip that party this year while I try and get back in my feet.
You know,
whatever.
What the reaction from all of your friends was? Okay.
Yeah, that sounds fine. But watching this movie made me feel like just shit. Cause I was like, oh, that's what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to spend $6,000 no matter what?
Yeah, like, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. You had better consume as much as possible.
Yeah.
This is like, if I put on the glasses from They Live, this whole movie would just be full of consume, buy more food, celebrate the Christ.
Yeah, this is a Christmas movie that legitimately made me feel bad. Like for myself, for this year. I mean, I'm granted, it's not manipulative enough that I'm not just like, this movie is a piece of shit that made me... But I was like, oh, God, I had to cancel my Christmas party this year, and I can't just fix it by being a rich, entitled dickface. I just
can't throw money at my problems.
I just can't fix it.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happened. And that's what, this movie just made me feel like shit. And I was like, why? Why do I need to see a Christmas movie that makes me feel like shit?
So, now we'll do our rating. It's a rating 1 to 5. Each of us will give our 1 to 5. That's going to give us our rating out of 10 for this movie. Jeff, Christmas with the Cranks. 1 to 5, what do you got?
0.5. I've never seen a movie that literally made me feel worse about my life situation than this did. This movie made me feel sad for myself, and why should I have to do that? Why should I watch a movie that makes me feel sad for myself?
Yeah, it's a movie that's terrible and makes me feel bad.
Yeah, I would rather watch Angela's Ashes, because at least it makes me feel sad, but not about me.
Oh yeah, no, I'll watch Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah, I'll be like, oh, this makes me feel empathetic.
This makes me feel really sad,
yeah,
but I'm also like, man, at least that's not happening to me.
Yeah, this movie was like suicide in film form. This movie might as well come with a gun. I'm pretty sure the primary leading advertiser for this movie is Carly Fiorina.
Okay, so my rating for this, I'm also going to give it a 0.5. This movie gets a 1 out of 10.
Do not watch it.
Don't. Just do yourself a favor and don't get anywhere near this movie. It will ruin your day.
Yeah, just screw everyone involved. Like, I kind of wonder, like, do you think Tim Allen and Jamie Lee Curtis were aware when they were making this? Where they were like, when they were reading these lines, where they're like, man, I am an asshole in this movie.
It makes me dislike all of the people in this. I'm like watching this movie going like, if I see Tim Allen or Jamie Lee Curtis or Dan Aykroyd in something now, I'm just going to think back to this and go, oh, you're such a jerk.
Yeah, it ruined Up in Smoke. It ruined fucking Starship Troopers. It ruined Malcolm in the Middle.
It ruined My Girl, which has both Jamie Lee Curtis and Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, nice. Ruined Ghostbusters. It ruined every movie. I loved Starship Troopers. But now because Jake Busey, I can't watch it anymore.
Oh, no, that's not true. I can watch Starship Troopers forever.
Well, no, Starship Troopers takes a double hit because not only is Jake Busey actually in it, but also Denise Richards might as well be in this movie because they found a blonde Denise Richards to play the daughter.
It's true.
Yeah. So there you go. It's a 1 out of 10. Do not watch it. Watch any other Christmas movie. However, if you would like to make us watch other horrible Christmas movies...
If you would like to torture us further, let us know what Christmas movies we should watch. We've only got 2 more. We're not doing it every week like we did for the horror movies.
Yeah, so there'll be 2 more during the month. And we have 6 recommendations, of which this was 1. So you have a very solid shot, if you send us a movie, of getting it on that block.
Yeah, if there's some Christmas movie that you think you will like hearing us hate, then go ahead and torture us some more. That's the Christmas spirit.
Oh, joy.
So you can get that systemmastery@gmail.com. You can email us there. We're at System Mastery on Twitter. You can get us System Mastery on Facebook, all of those places. Let us know. You can leave a comment on our website, systemmasterypodcast.com, under this. Let us know if there's something you want us to do there. Otherwise, we will be back in a couple of weeks with another Christmas movie for our Christmas extravaganza.
Holiday extravaganza.
I
keep saying that just because one of the 6 movies on the recommended list is 8 Crazy Nights.
Yeah, but if it shows up and we randomly roll it, I'm not watching it. I'm boycotting Adam Sandler forever.
Fair enough.
All right, thank you for listening. We will see you in 2 weeks. Good night.